national broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American leader.
Thank you, brother.
Yes. Peace to you this morning in New Medina, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Assalamu alaikum. We always begin with God's name, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say the traditional salute to the Prophet, witnessing firstly that there is but one God, and we pray the prayers and the peace be on Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, the last prophet, and what follows of that traditional salute. I'll speak very briefly, maybe less than 30 minutes, and I hope that some of you were in attendance last night. I do recognize faces here that I saw last night at the public address. Can you just raise your hand if you were in attendance at the public address I gave? Oh, almost 100%. Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. We wanted to keep our attention for this period of time that I'll be speaking to you and inviting your comments and inviting your questions, if you have questions. We want to keep our attention on the concepts that I were presenting last night from Scripture, not only from Quran, but from Old and New Testament also, Old and New Testament, and also from Quran, which is the more recent of those books that were revealed to human beings, men like us, beginning with Abraham and many others before him and after him. Among them most noted is Moses and Christ Jesus and Muhammad, the last of the prophets, or the seal of the prophets. In the Quran we read from Surah Maryam, and Allah advances in guidance those who seek guidance and the things that endure. Those who seek guidance and the things that endure. I would like to comment right at this point here. The things that endure, God describes them very plainly in the Quran. What endures is that is with God. And what perishes is that is with us, that was not created and revealed by God. Created or revealed by God. So what endures? The Word of God. Our nature that God wants us to have. If we leave that good nature, we will perish in time. So what remains, what endures? It's the good creation that Allah made, that God made. And the Word of God, the revealed Word, that's what stays, that's what endures. But if we ourselves prefer the life that God created for us, that means a life of purity, moral purity, a life of intelligence, good common sense, intelligence, respect for education, for true education. If we keep this life, then also our mind and our spirit endures. If we keep this life, our mind, I repeat, and our spirit endures. And the mind will live no longer than the spirit endures. Once we lose spirit, the spirit of God in us, the spirit to obey Him, to be near Him in obedience, not near to Him like you're close to me now. I can almost touch some of you with my hand from this position here. Not in that sense, but near to Him in love for Him, near to Him in obedience to His way for human beings. If we remain in that taqwa called taqwa, wanting to be near to God with our hearts, our souls, and our minds. That's taqwa, called taqwa, our consciousness. I guess it would be Christ consciousness for Christians, but for us, it's taqwa consciousness, which begins with consciousness of God. But also, it is very important because God says, وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Have this consciousness for God. Wal-arham. And also for the near family relatives. So we have to be conscious of our God and conscious of our near relatives, our parents, our brothers and sisters, and all those that make up our family, our close relatives. See how important family is in the Quran, in our scripture, as it is for Jews and as it is for Christianity, for Christians as well. And God says that family has first rights in the book of God. This is, I'm quoting the Quran to you. I don't speak from myself. I speak only from Quran, from scripture. And if I give you something that's not in the Quran or not in the teachings or sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, believe me, I have been convinced thoroughly that it is supported by the Quran and it is supported by the sunnah of our Prophet. Otherwise, I wouldn't give it to you. Yes, so that's what endures. The life that endures. And this life is called, is referred to as life that will be to us, with us, pardon me, when this world has been done away with, or when it has perished or vanished. Now, this is not an impossibility. We don't expect for it to happen in our lifetime, that's for sure, or in the lifetime of millions and millions of generations or billions of generations to come. But science tells us that this whole creation, stars and everything that we see in the sky and the earth, is dying. It's dying. It's not permanent. It's going to one day die and pass away. And God says in both books, the Bible and the Quran, that one day the heavens and the sky will be removed. All of this will be removed. And God will bring in a new creation. And God will bring the dead to live again. Those who have passed away, He will bring them to live again. And He says to those who doubt that that would happen, they should think about what they have in their own minds. They believe that they were created, and they know that they had a beginning. So that created them for the first time is certainly able to create them again. So God promises us another creation when the whole universe as we know it has perished. And this is the life that endures. These are the interests, the concerns for the everlasting life, for God, the ever-living, and for the everlasting life. That endures. What else endures? It continues. I quote now, good deeds are the best in the sight of your Lord as rewards for your goodness. And God says, in reference to this statement, God says, and what is the payment for good behavior except good? What is the payment for someone who has good behavior, but good? So that's to comfort us, to let us know. If you've been a good person, you shouldn't fear death. You shouldn't fear anything, for your God is with you. And though you were a mortal human being of flesh, certainly you did wrong things. No human being was perfect. Only angels are perfect, and they can't help it. The law of their nature prevent them from even knowing wrong. They know no wrong. All they know is obedience to God. So those who know they have lived a good life, though they made mistakes, though they sinned, but they know their life on the whole is a good life. You should never have fear. Don't worry. God is going to give you good in this life, and He's going to give you the fullness of your reward in the hereafter, after this world has perished. Again, God says, continuing this saying from the Quran, the Word of God, in Surah Al-Maryam, God says, and best as for their eventual return. Now, what is it? There is not T-H-E-I-R. There is T-H-E-R-E. It is referring to our good deeds. Whatever good we do, and this is not just a deed that was an act, but this is a deed that lives long after you're gone. It is both the actions, but also the deeds that live long after you're gone. The good advice you left to your children that will be in them living after we're gone, or after you're gone, but also the good contributions, the charity and contributions you made. You put some money in this school. You put some money in New Medina. You worked hard and it was a sacrifice for you. You were not rich. You had to make a sacrifice to contribute to New Medina. You had to make a sacrifice to contribute to the mosque cares or to Imam Debedin Muhammad's office and work. What we do and leave on the earth for our children to inherit and to keep and build on and extend and maybe one day and make improvements upon it. Our school buildings, our publications, our printed materials, whether it's for the school or for dawah, for the propagation of our religion or for the education of our people so that they'll be educated in the religion of Islam. All of that is what will endure. Every good intention and every good thing that materialized, God keeps it for us. It will never perish. The good never perishes. God and his angels will preserve it always, for always. So much there. Now, I mentioned Abraham last night, Prophet Abraham. Upon him be peace, and upon all the prophets and servants of God be peace. Alayhi salam, we say. On him be peace. I mention him as our second father, which he is, and according to scriptures, our second father. And I said, my only comment was that your educators, school teachers, educators here in New Medina will have more to say about Father Abraham, Prophet Ibrahim. But for this program here this morning, the workshop that we have, I would like to say that Abraham, in addition to being the leader for our rational life, the leader for our rational life, our rational mind and our rational life, under God. Mind you, though his role, Abraham's role, after Abraham, is described as the role of one who wanted to find satisfaction for his intellect, for his intellect. Where is that given? How do we know that? God asked us to believe in the unseen, to believe in those things that we have no proof of or no knowledge of. We can't prove it with our knowledge, like the existence of angels. And God has said he has created worlds that we see, and he's created worlds that we see not. Our eyes can't see those worlds. God says that. Our eyes can't see it. But God said, if we are believers, we accept that. We believe it. We can't understand everything, maybe, but we believe it. Science now, since the time of Muhammad the Prophet, science have presented to us the world of microbes, the world of living animals and life that you can't see with your eyes, that was not existing in the time of Muhammad the Prophet. Science had not been advanced that much to that extent. And now we know there is a world. There's the world of microbes, the world of marine animals, water animals that exist, and they're too small to see with your eyes. We know bacteria is in the air. Bacteria gets on us, and we can become sick, and we couldn't see the creature that made us sick. It's too small. We can see the fly, we can see these things, that the bee that gives us malaria fever and whatever, but we can't see many bacteria that you're catching. They call it the flu germ. You can't see it with your eyes. No way. No way to see it. You get strep throat, streptococcus. Streptococcus is the name of the bacteria or the living creatures that make your throat feel like you're swallowing glass, cut up glass, or broke up glass, you know. But you can't see them. They exist. And that was said 1400 and some years ago by God to Muhammad, and he repeated it to the people back then, that there are worlds that you see and worlds that you see not, that God has made or created. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, you know, there are many other things, you know. We believe in angels. We believe in a spiritual realm that we can't see with our physical eyes. And we believe in angels. In fact, I believe in angels so strongly, until my faith in angels, the existence of angels, is just as strong as my faith in the existence of my own self and brothers and sisters and people in this world, this material world that I can see. My faith is that strong in the existence of angels, you know? Abraham, the reason for me discussing the unseen is to come back to Abraham. I mentioned Abraham. Abraham was a man that wanted to understand with his what God wanted, and he wanted to understand with his rational mind. He wanted to understand what God wanted. He didn't accept a lot of the spiritual life and the spiritual things that people believed in his time. He didn't accept those things. He was a very practical man. Very practical man who believed in his own good common sense. He believed in human intelligence. He was the first of the Hunafa that I mentioned last night in my presentation. Hunafa, Muhammad the Prophet, and a few of his companions, they were of the Hunafa. Hunafa means a person who just believes in being at his best at whatever he has as ability. Whatever he has as ability. He believes in being his best. If he can think, he wants to be his best at thinking. He wants to improve his thinking, get his thinking to best. If he is a kind person, he wants to develop himself as a kind person to his best. To his best, to reach the very best. So it's a person who come to a conclusion that human beings are special make, are special life. That human life is a very special life, more special than any other life to be known by us on this earth. So the Hunafa is a person like that, or people like that. Hunafa is the plural, the singular is Hanif. Hanif, one for one. Hunafa for plural, more than one, more than two, in fact. It got to be three or more, because in Arabic we have single, dual, and then plural. Single, dual, plural. One, two, and many in Arabic. So many, the word is Hunafa, and Abraham in the Quran is called not only the first of the Muslims, but he's also the first of the Hanif, or Hunafa. He's our father representing the Hunafa, the person who wants to be as the best he can as a human being, as a human being. And isn't that what God invites us to be over and over in the Quran? And be your best, and be doers of good, all over and over again. Be your best. In fact, I don't know, perhaps no other way of addressing us that appears more often except believers. God mentioned us as believers more than he mentioned us as any other thing. Many more times more than he mentioned us as Muslims. Allah doesn't mention us too many times as Muslims, but he mentioned us many times as believers. And believers means one who is trusting and trustworthy. He trusts God. He trusts the good people, and he himself is trustworthy. That's the mu'min, mu'min, the believer, mu'min. This word believer is a combination of trust and faith. They're not separated. It's not just belief. It's trust and faith. Trust and faith. If a situation is secured and safe for someone, the word that we use to describe that is the same root that believer comes from. Same root. Amnun, safety, security, from the same. Mu'min, mu'min. Amnun, amnun. And the precincts, the holy precincts at Mecca, where we make Hajj, that area is called the safe or secured area. And the same word the same root that we get believer, what we call believer, describes that place too. Place secured, precincts, holy precincts, area that has been secured. For the pilgrims, no killing is to be done there, no arguing is to be done there, etc. It is a place that we have that shows that the human being wants to go to heaven. And God says, well, get some practice right now. Don't argue with each other in the holy precincts when you're making pilgrimage. Have no bad intentions. You don't fear someone will steal from you, but they do. It's the place to practice the life that will be in heaven. You know, and a lot of them, they're way out of fitness, long ways from being fit, that make the Hajj, you know. And most of those that will violate the precincts, they're from around that area. And they're just waiting, like flies and mosquitoes and rats and roaches. They're waiting for life to come there, and they're going to pick up something, you know. They're going to eat what you bring. And what you leave, what you drop, you know, so they take what you leave, they take your wallet, or maybe take your money. So it's a place that's intended to be safe and secure, but don't you think that you go there now and you're going to leave your $100 bills lying out there on the sand while you make salat. You'll pay a price. It may help purify your soul, though. Sometimes it's good to lose things, you know. So, accepting losses and turning to God for understanding. Well, sometimes we lose so much we got to ask God, why? And it brings us near to Allah. It causes us to understand our own selves better. Purifies our soul, makes us stronger, spirit stronger, to endure even worse things in the future. So even bad things that happen to a believer is counted for a good. In the end, it'll be a good. God will never let bad happen to a true believer without making that bad a good in time. Yes. Now, with Abraham also we have the saying from him to the disbelievers. And this disbeliever is his father. And he's describing the way that God had blessed him to find. And you know, in the Quran, in the daily prayer we make Al-Fatiha, we say Sirat al-Mustaqim. That's how we use Sirat. The way that is straight, Sirat al-Mustaqim. The way that is for the upright, the way that is straight and upright. But from Ibrahim's mouth to his father, he said Sirat al-Sawiyya. Sirat al-Sawiyya. And it means not only straight, but it refers to something else about this straight way. It doesn't mean that it's not Sirat al-Mustaqim. Certainly it's Sirat al-Mustaqim. But it gives us an additional description or additional knowledge on this Sirat al-Mustaqim. It is the way of equality. Sirat al-Sawiyya. The way of equality. Where no one is dealt with unfairly. And isn't that what we were told? By the honorable Elijah Muhammad, didn't he say Islam is freedom, justice, and equality? But the more I grow in knowledge of this religion, the more I appreciate the honorable Elijah Muhammad for giving me my first understanding of Islam, that Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Just a few more words, and I'm going to bring this conclusion, and we'll begin our discussion, questions, and comments, inshallah. Yes, so this brings me to my main point for this morning. The main point for this morning is to say that Abraham, Prophet Abraham, was the person that had to make sense of things. He had to make good sense of things. He couldn't accept something if he couldn't make good sense of it. And I was almost about to give you this from Quran, and we got on other things that are important for the understanding of what I'm presenting this morning. So I don't regret digressing. It was for a good reason, and it served a good purpose for this morning. But let me go back now to Ibrahim, or Abraham, the prophet, our second father, who is in the highest heaven. In the highest heaven, the heavens, they're sent to heaven, begins with the first father, Adam. This is according to the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet. The ascent begins with the first father, Adam. And then it goes up to another level, and all these levels are called levels of equality, are strong firmaments. They are strong firmaments because they are levels of equality. Justice. There is no justice if equality is not respected. The equality that God established. How can you have justice when you perceive one man to be inferior to you, and God made all men equal? There can be no justice from a society that will do that, like white supremacist society that was behind, that we hope is behind us to stay. And I'm sure it is, because blacks now are new people.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.